freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are it. And Brooke, you are it.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let that fire!
All right, final hour of our show before the draft gets underway later today. Brock, you're on the coverage. Dave Wyman will be there. Bob Stelton, Michael Bumpus. Wyman's going to join us in 30 minutes, so we'll get some of his thoughts on the draft, some final thoughts from Dave Wyman. Before we do it, though, every day at 9, we've been going through your draft profiles.
20 of them.
And it still doesn't cover everybody. Those are just guys you happen to like. Today, we have 7 remaining players that could be in play for the Seahawks, maybe at 16, but maybe deeper into the first round. These are all potential first round
picks. Yeah, 6 of them are. One of them's not, but one of them plays such a position. Right. You just heard a caller.
And we've heard his name about a million times. So without further ado, a rapid fire
he said to put him on the clock, so we have a 30-second timer here.
Perfect.
30?
Are you fast twitch or not, Brock?
30?
30.
I'm not doing 30.
Oh.
I need at least a minute.
You mean 30 seconds, what? Like about how much time it's going to take me to run 200 meters today?
Yes.
That sounds about
no,
right.
I got 30.
Here we go.
Fine. Junior Colson, linebacker, Michigan. I didn't realize, also born in Haiti, like his buddy Mike Sainristil. Do you realize that?
No.
Yeah, his dad died. He went in an orphanage. Had adopted parents from Tennessee that brought him there. Became a 4-star linebacker, recruited by everybody. 6'2", 240, thumper. Will come up and hit you. Probably with the kid out of A&M, the best off-ball linebacker, going to be a second-round pick. He's not going to be a first-round pick. So if you make that trade down, as some of our callers had mentioned there.
But he's also not going to be available in the third round.
In the second, no. Okay.
Was that enough time?
Perfect.
I mean, it felt a little rushed.
I mean, maybe without like the full story of his parents and stuff.
But that's his story.
I know.
Like, that's his life.
Like, you know,
that's
the Salk's trying to erase.
I mean, you don't have to tell each
part
of that.
That's like the grit he brings.
You want to do a minute?
No, that's fine. Okay. You can keep me on spot like that.
All right, so that is Junior Colson, Michigan linebacker, second round pick. You don't have a second round pick.
Probably high second
round. So you would need to do something like what we heard, where you're trading back.
And 50 would be dangerous, man. 50 would be real, real dangerous. Probably goes before 50. But, yep, that's Junior Colson. Okay, next, number 2. Talisi Fuaga, local boy, Mount Tahoma T-Bird. The only other thing that came out of Mount Tahoma was Ahmad Rashad. And this dude is massive. 6'6", that's a shot. I'm sorry, Mount Tahoma. 6'6", 330, long arms. He can slide in. Not as athletic as Fautanu, but great size, great bulk, and a ferocity. He wants to bury and finish you. So he's a tackle, could go in the top 15. He's one of these that could slide in, though, a little bit like Fautanu, and be a difference maker at guard.
Rock's got a pretty good clock in his head. It's almost like he does that for TV.
Do you know the first time, one of the first times that I got my taste of the Hall of Famer, Clayton, in that backup studio right over there, we did this. Lumberg won. It was like, you know what? We need to take your college football, John Clayton's NFL, and we're going to do these little. And it was, and John was remote, you know, from his home doing them and taping them. And John was like, okay, how long I got? And it's like, Lumberg won's like, well, what do you need? It's like, well, you tell me. 15, 30? What do you want?
Put me on a clock.
Yeah, put me on. He's like, okay, well, just do it in 30. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
And he just nailed it every time.
Okay, you want 15? Okay, here you go. 3, 2, 1. Like, just his clock from doing those million hits
that's
on SportsCenter was unbelievable.
Oh, that's a good story.
Okay, here
that's
we go.
Awesome. All right, number three.
Adarius Mims. I mean, a giant. Just a, like, a fictional character. Like, Andre the Giant, seriously, in Princess Bride. 6'8", 340. 6'8", 340. He'd be the biggest guard since Kevin Gogan, late Husky or former Husky, still around. Gigantic guy if he were to slide in. Superhuman length, superhuman strength. Not many starts. 30 games played and 8 starts. Injury issues, durability issues, frankly, toughness issues, but just a DNA that's unlike anybody.
You don't like that idea. It just, you couldn't do it. Not when you need the kind of help you need.
Malik McDowell burned me.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Malik McDowell. Remember how much I talked about him? That's 1 year I did a mock and I put him in to the Bengals somewhere. Right. Like, the Bengals will take that risk. They'll take the risk.
And the Seahawks did it.
Well, they did in the second round, you know. But, when I hear just that stuff, like a high ankle that lingered forever, tapped out of that game. Like, I don't love that stuff, even though the traits are absolutely off the charts. Okay, next. Jerome J.C. Latham, tackle, Alabama. Another one of these tackles, a bunch of these tackles. He's 21 in February. He is young. Three-year player at Alabama. 6'6", 340. So if Adarius Mims is Andre the Giant, Princess Bride, this guy is like Big John stud. I mean, he is also huge. A presence that's a difference. The difference between he and Mims, he posts. The difference is he is powerful. And that is why a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that would be an easy slide into guard. He played right tackle, so the feet, not left tackle like Fautani, played right tackle. Feet so-so, power off the charts.
Unlikely to be available for them?
I don't know. You just never know, man. Right. Baskin Robbins with these offensive tackles. As DJ said, everybody's talking tackles.
A lot of people chiming in say Ron Say is from Mount Tahoma High School.
I apologize.
I didn't know that.
It was a total unnecessary shot. Ron Say was from Mount Tahoma, right. And he was a hell of a player.
Okay.
You know what? Scratch that. Shame on me. Don't ever... See, that's one of those things, like my filter.
As soon as you said it, I was like, I'm sure there will have been a great something that came out of
Mount
Tahoma.
And my filter was like, you're an idiot. Why would you offend somebody like that? Like, you offended the scrap metal worker in the warehouse.
It's not like
you're on the clock, and you're going to waste time.
I am so sorry. I love Mount Tahoma. Okay,
it's tough.
Here we go.
Three more.
Johnny Newton. Jerzon Johnny Newton. One of our callers last hour wanted him. 6'1 and 3'8, so a little shorter, 304, wore number 4, single digit, because he got an ego. He's got that Florida dog in him, and he is a difference maker. Two-time first-team All-Big Ten from Illinois. That's not easy to do in the middle of the line. A little Aaron Donald, lesser athlete, but as far as just, hey, man, I produce. You put me out there, I will disrupt, I will distract, I will penetrate, and I'll be a difference maker. Johnny Newton, if you were a little bigger and a little longer, top 10. As it is, may be available at 16 or 20.
Yeah, maybe that'd be an interesting one. He feels to me like somebody they would trade back for, but
yes.
maybe you know, that's just based on the mocks. That doesn't actually take reality.
A lot of
it.
These guys, and I've said this about Byron Murphy and somebody, like, you just don't see him. Like, you watch the Illinois game? You watch the Illinois game. Any of them, put them on. You're going to see number 4. That dude is just in the backfield, and he is chaotic, and he is a disaster, and he's got an engine.
Isn't that what Mark Dominic was saying the other day about Byron Murphy specifically? But, hey, TFLs are sacks.
Yes.
Get into the backfield, and TFLs are basically sacks.
Yes. 24 sacks in high school, I want to say. 250 tackles. So just like a dog. Just like a – I love to play football.
253. Andre the Giant was 7'4", 550. I mean, like,
was he really though?
I don't know, but
I mean, was he really,
really, really large?
I mean, he was parts unknown. Was he really?
All right, we got two left to go.
Hold on one second.
Wait, Justin and I were talking back here. You keep having to put that notepad pretty close to your face. You went no readers when you're on.
I'm
the
going
pitch
no
box?
Readers.
No, you have your readers right there. I figure, you don't want to just use them.
I figure this may show up down the road. I figure, you know, these may come into play down the road. I might as well, okay. Right? And if I got to do this, that looks better than readers. Okay. So yeah, you call me out. You see what I got cooking here.
Johnny Newton was with teammates with.
Newton, yes. Teammates with Spoon.
With Spoon? Okay.
Yeah. Dude's a difference maker. Okay, here we go.
That would be really bizarre to take a Illinois player in two straight years in the first round.
Okay, we saw this guy mocked to the Seahawks earlier today. Dallas Turner, 6'3", 247, 4'4", 6 in the 40. Absolute twitch. Five-star studs. Gotten paid already at Alabama. Made a little bit of money. 3 years there. Young. Long-armed. He is traits personified. Why many put him in the top 10? You got those traits, you're going to go in the top 10. That's just the way the NFL has worked. You run that fast, you're that long, you're that big, you're productive, you're an all SEC performer, you're going to go in the top 10. Would be intriguing if he were to slip all the way to 16.
Okay, now that's not been projected for the most part. I think most people seem to think he will be the first.
Atlanta,
defensive player off the board. We'll find out whether that happens. Mm-hmm. But okay, you got one
it,
more?
This
is the one you got to get to.
Okay, here we go, last one. Terrion Arnold.
Who?
Yeah, Terrion Arnold, corner, Alabama. Once again, Tallahassee boy, got some of that Florida just dog in him. G. Scott was in here earlier. He's like, ooh, Terrion? I know something about Terrion. Everybody loves Terrion. Cool. He is the life of the party. He walks in a room and he lights it up. The Seahawks have done their work on corners. That was the feedback I got from DJ. They have done their homework on corners. And when they did, I'm sure there's a reason they love this guy, because many do. He or the kid out of Toledo will be one of the first two corners off the board tonight.
I'd vomit.
Yeah, and he seems like a great guy and a great player, and I just don't think he can
I will
do
say,
that
I didn't
16.
Love 4-5 in the 40 from him, so that like kind of concerns me.
He takes
me.
The ball away. I read about him a little bit. He's a ball hawk. Yeah, he takes the ball picks. Away. Sounds like a good player. Yes. I have no problems with the guy as a player.
Send him to Philly.
You just can't go do that. I'm
sorry. Trade with Philly.
Hey, what do you make of this? This is one last thing I'll read you here. This was a text message that came in. Say, hey, I wish I could have called. But with the 9th pick, after trading DK Metcalf to the Bears, the Seahawks select Rome Odunze.
Yeah, I saw that floating
around. And then at 16, they select Byron Murphy. I got to say, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people are going to say, but Salk, you talked all about trading DK Metcalf. Yeah, to change up your roster, not to take a different wide receiver. You know DK's a good player. Rome might end up being great, mm-hmm. but you know DK is a good player already. I would not trade DK Metcalf to try to get Rome Odunze. If you're trading DK Metcalf for the number 9 pick, it's because J.J. McCarthy's there and you think mm-hmm. that you can transform your franchise by getting a quarterback, or because you know there's some other player that you think is a game changer.
Yep.
It's not to get a different wide receiver.
You start doing that math, and like you trade up and you get the 9th pick, and then you trade down, right, and all of a sudden, you know, you get another second round. Like, you start to build up some arsenal
that. You could change your entire
because,
franchise.
Oh, by the way, around you, as Morris sent to us, or Justin sent last night, around you in this division.
I hope it's one of those nights.
Ooh, Cardinals got a lot of bullets.
I'm going to deal with that in a moment. We're going to come back, give you guys everything you need to know. Then Wyman and 20. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, final couple of hours before the draft tonight. Seahawks in a real interesting spot with the number 16 pick in a draft where there are a lot of quarterbacks that could go in the top 10 or 15, a lot of offensive tackles that could go, and some wide receivers that make names for themselves as well. So it puts them in a fascinating position, given that some of their best and biggest needs are on the offensive line and defensive line and edge, where maybe you're not hearing nearly as many big-time players that would go ahead of them. So there's a lot of options for them, Brock. They could trade back if a bunch of these guys are available. I'm going to continue to say I love Jared Verse as an opportunity for them to really make their defense better. And the reason I go there rather than Troy Faltano or somebody on the offensive line is I think you can still go get someone like Zach Zinter later in the draft, mm-hmm. who would be fantastic. And he's probably not the only one. But yeah, I'm a little biased on that. If you come away with Jared Verse in round one, And someone like Zach Zinter in the fourth round,
mm-hmm.
aren't you a better team?
Yeah, it's just building up the big people, man. And just these programs in the background, I'll come back to that. If John Schneider is listening, and I know he does, wants to do his job incredibly well and has for many years. Has he had some speed bumps? Yes. Is every GM that does this have speed bumps? Yes. But if he's listening to what this staff wants, just remind everybody where they came from, Baltimore and Michigan. Oh, and oh, by the way, throw in Stanford and San Francisco with Harbaugh's background. Like, that is the DNA that flows through a Mike McDonald and a bunch of the people on that staff. And oh, by the way, Jim's cousin Jay Harbaugh is a special team. So, like, yes. Yeah, I want big difference makers.
What if they totally remade their entire roster today? I mean,
their draft capital. There's too many other teams.
You would have to trade someone like DK,
mm-hmm.
get a top 10 pick, then trade back. Right. I mean, like, you'd have to do a couple of things like that.
You know, as I say this, maybe I just shoot it right down. Don't you think we would hear some smoke, some rumbling, indicators by now?
I think you would.
And in the market with a T. Higgins, in a market with a Brandon Ayuk, and in a market with the problem is the market, all of these receivers.
I know.
If it was last year and there was no big bona fide stud number one, you know, that's no shot on Jackson or Zay Flowers, but they're just smaller guys or slot guys. You know, if it was last year's draft, maybe. This year's draft with Roman Dunze and Marvin,
it just feels very hard.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Ugly night for the Mariners in Texas last night, but the good news is you don't have to wait that long to snap it, clear it, and move on. They played today, morning game really for us, 11:30 first pitch, something like that. So the pregame show will be here at 10:30 this morning from Texas. You didn't really do much of anything last night. You didn't pitch particularly well. You didn't hit really at all. After Rojas and that first triple, they really didn't do anything.
Well, you gave yourself some. What were they, 1 of 11 with runners in scoring position?
1 of 11, but it didn't even feel like they had great chances. I know they put some guys on base. And a lot of those were sort of they got to second base with two outs. They weren't real big opportunities.
No, we'll get to the story of last night's
game. Not all runners in scoring position are created equal, I would say.
They're not, and last night's story was not really even on the field. We'll get to that here in just a second, but there was just no margin.
Mm-mm.
Last night was one. If you would have won that, if you could have won that, it's one of those you
somehow
like
sneak out a win.
Wow.
Yeah,
the odds were not necessarily with you last night, as Mike's going to tell you some of the key injuries that were about it.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Can you survive without Cal Raleigh for a night? Yeah, you have to, right? I mean, like, he's not going to play every day, and Sebi Zavala or whoever ends up catching here, that's going to happen. And Cal needed the day off because he had emergency dental surgery. Hope he's feeling better, and he is likely to be in the lineup today. That may actually be out yet. I'm not even sure. But the bigger one is J.P. Crawford, unfortunately, leaves before the game started, in between warm-ups and the start of the game, with right oblique soreness.
Yeah, we don't know yet. We'll find out more in the morning where that's at. He felt something in batting practice right away. Tried to calm it down. The strength was good and stuff, but we don't know yet. We've got to get MRI, take a look at that. We'll know more in the morning.
You don't like any part of that, to be honest with you, Brock. He is such a key part of what they're trying to do. And by the way, we do just have a lineup.
Okay.
Shannon putting this out 44 seconds ago. There is definitely no J.P. Crawford in it, but Cal Raleigh is. Okay. Looks like this. Julio in center, Haniger in right, batting second. Cal at catcher, Ty France at first, Polanco second, Moore at short, Mitch Garver the DH, Urias at third base. Remember, there's a lefty on the hill, and Class A in left.
Don't want to jump to conclusions and speculate. I don't think there was any chance, even if the MRI was clean, JP is going to play today. So I am sure we will get some further intel on that. And yeah, that's a big part of your formula, man.
Right. Shannon also mentioned that Leo Rivas is here from Tacoma. I'm guessing he is their regular shortstop. And I don't know a lot about him, but if I had to guess, he is probably a guy who's played a little bit of shortstop in the big leagues, kind of a veteran who's been around the block a little bit, who could help them out short term. Not what you're hoping to hear. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the
podcast. No, he's a big part of your formula, right? Get on base, get it going. Last couple of weeks, you felt some of that bat warm up, him get it going, Julio right behind him getting it going. That's kind of the top of that order. And obviously, JP's played a great field, too. Right? Has he made an error all season? I don't think he's made an error at shortstop. He's been super, super solid there.
He's made some non-error errors, right? Like a double play ball where they only got one instead of two.
But
like,
been super solid.
Yes.
Super, super solid. So hopefully that's not, but you're going to be careful. It is April and you are going to be guarded and you're going to be careful. And if there's any inflammation or whatever came up on that MRI, now is the time to give it the time to heal. So that thing, Salky, does not linger all season.
All right, I take it back. Rivas has not played in the big leagues. He's a utility guy, shortstop, second baseman, third baseman, who they signed to a minor league deal. He's 26, almost 27 years old. And
no
he's
Haggerty, kinda, though, huh? No Haggerty.
No Haggerty, which surprises me a little bit. I figured they would bring up Haggerty in a spot like this.
Why don't you text Shannon during the break?
He is hitting so far this year. Triple A's hot. He's hit .308 with an .883 OPS to start the year. In 18 games, he's hit pretty well for Tacoma. All right. Dave Wyman's going to join us. He's part of the big broadcast this afternoon. Brock Heuer, Dave Wyman, Bob Stelton, Michael Bumpus, all together here on Seattle Sports,
from
covering
the
draft from the facility.
VMAC.
Are you going to go ripping down photos and pictures, everything? Like, are you going to attack any of the walls while you're there?
I should just rip my little placard down. Me and Wyman and Bumpus, just rip them down off the wall.
Yes, you each rip down your own
or maybe
placard.
We
maybe
wear
any.
Maybe we wear
stage
them.
A protest.
Maybe we wear them tonight on set.
Maybe you stage a protest about like a sit-in until they put more pictures up of the three of you.
Interesting.
What do you think about that
Probably
plan?
Not.
Dave Wyman will join us next. Then we rank. Then we're actually going to go an extra 25 minutes today. It's a long story. We'll tell you why later. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
I've been getting in Moore's head all morning. She never knows whether I'm going to be nice to her, mean to her, brought her coffee.
You're
but then
games.
I've taken little shots throughout the day. Just get myself ready for the big race. You know,
you are playing games.
I am. I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Brock, in Pumping Iron. I'm just playing mind games, right? And it makes sense.
The race is on.
It's going to be a little bit later today.
The big race.
Oh, the big race.
Yes,
of course.
You go Pumping Iron. What was the other one where he played in the video game that he had to outrun people? You remember that one?
No.
They had, the guy from Family Feud led it.
Oh, Running Man.
Running Man.
Yeah.
That's speed. Yes. I am speed.
That's me. Yep. The Running Man, of course.
So good.
Damon Killian.
Oh,
only in a rerun.
Oh,
that's one of my favorites. By the way, that took place like years ago now.
Oh, bro, like 40 years ago.
No, not that. No,
pretty
no,
close.
Because it was supposed to be way in the future.
Oh, I got you.
I mean,
you.
Like, the time that it was supposedly
the
taking place is now, like, in the past.
Yeah.
As opposed to in the future.
It's
always
disappointing.
Isn't it?
When it's like you watch a movie, it's like, it's the year 2019.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it really wasn't
well,
that.
Well, the Mariners are turning it, you know, hey, when they wore those unis, I was watching the game last night with Damon.
1999?
Yeah, and he's like, when did they? I'm like, you don't remember that? I totally remember that. They were in the Kingdom in the 90s. Blowers was wearing the cutoff sleeve. Griffey looked absolutely
yoked.
He had
the swingman tattoo on his arm, which I thought was real as
a kid.
By the way,
it's 2019 is the year from The Running Man.
Yeah. Was it really?
It's now 5 years in the past. Ugh. We're not wearing those crazy body suits. Thankfully, the world hasn't devolved into people gambling on the deaths of various, criminals as they run against, the stalkers. Like, thankfully, that hasn't happened.
What year is the movie Waterworld supposed to be set in?
Ooh, that's a good question. Waterworld's kind of an underrated movie, by the way. I know it gets panned because it didn't do very well, but it's actually, like, a pretty good movie.
It's in the year 2500.
Yeah, that one's way in the future. They probably should have done the same thing with The Running Man. All right, Dave Wyman is going to be on the show this afternoon. It is the big draft extravaganza with Wyman and Bob and Bump and Brock, and he joins us right now. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Dave, I'm a little bummed. I'm not gonna lie.
I want to give the obligatory, before we get started, I'm sorry. I want to give the obligatory Billy Joe Hobert to Don James. And when Billy Joe would walk into the dog father's office on Monday and say, I want to apologize for anything I may say or do this week, coach. And Dave, right here at 9:30 this morning, I want to apologize for anything at 4 o'clock this afternoon, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, where I annoy you, where I cut you off, where I bother you, where I'm hyper, all those things. I want to apologize right now ahead of time and just say I'm sorry for any of my antics later today.
Okay, well, yeah, you know what? That's fine. You put it that way. Okay, good, because I knew you were going to annoy me.
I think we all pretty much knew that. All right, so today, Seahawks obviously have the number 16 pick and go in a lot of different directions with it. Did you see this the other day, Dave, on the hit rate for teams on offensive linemen versus everybody else? This was the guy's name is Hembo. He's Mike Greenberg's producer. And he put together like a hit chart over the course of the last like 15 years. And it showed that the three positions in the first round that teams get right the most often were offensive, were center,
based
guard,
on, by the way, based on signing a second contract with that team. Like, this is a good player for that team. They want him back.
It was, they all three were the three offensive line positions. It was center, guard, and tackle were 1, 2, 3. Does that surprise you at all?
You know, I would have said that. And, you know, they also have like the best longevity as far as if you look at football players, the offensive linemen, just because. You just don't move that much, right? I mean, you operate in like a little kind of a phone booth almost. And a lot of people don't know what a phone booth is, by the way. But it's a box that used to have a phone in it that you would call people from. But you're operating in a very pretty small place, you know, on the field. I mean, you look at what corners do and what receivers do. I mean, those guys are out in the wide open, you know, just running their tails off constantly. So that makes sense to me, but and it doesn't surprise me because I would have said that. You know, I asked John that a couple weeks ago. I was like, is there any one position that you feel like is kind of your sweet spot, you know, that you like? And he didn't really have an answer. He didn't really say one thing or the other, because, you know, when he evaluates players, I'm like, what's like the, you know, your sweet spot, like where you feel really comfortable? And he didn't really have a position, but I would have guessed offensive line. That kind of makes sense to me anyway.
I'm going to ask you, Dave Wyman, here with us, the same thing that I asked Dominic, the same thing I asked Bumpus yesterday, especially as we get close to this, Dave. And you guys are down there and you're talking to John, I think, today, right, for the final time as well. And these have been awesome. Do you sense any difference heading into this draft without Pete being around? Do you feel any difference in John and his regime? The personnel department's largely all the same, and his lieutenants are all there. But do you feel any different vibe through the process heading into the draft today without Pete around?
Yeah, maybe I'm just projecting this, but I think I think that there's been some things in the past that he didn't do. I think the first couple years, John was in charge and had the final say. But, you know, you just kind of hear stories like Rashad Penny, for example. I mean, that was just, you know, you always hear these little rumors that John wanted Nick Chubb and Pete, or one of his coaches, wanted Rashad Penny. And, you know, I hear a lot of stories like that. I've never heard that from John, but I do think that it's going to be, I do sense a little bit more excitement because, but, you know, the other thing is, like Pete said in his final press conference, he was like, well, you're the guy, John, you know, good luck to you, you know, go get him. Like, he was kind of like, it's tough at the top, you know, when you're the final decision maker. But I feel like John is really excited about this. And but I also think it's a lot of pressure on John. You know, Bump and Stacy were talking the other day about, you know, who's going to get the blame if things go wrong. And I think, you know, they were both kind of on either side. But to me, I think it's 100% John.
Same.
You know, John, he's got a lot of pressure. If this guy isn't the right coach or whatever, he doesn't pick the right players. I mean, it's all pretty much on him. So,
yeah, yeah, I think he picked McDonald, right? I mean, like, of course, I agree with you 100% on that, Dave. I would say there's a lot more pressure on John. By the way, some of the texts coming in, the Gen Zs are also asking, hey, what does Wyman mean by call people? It's that thing that's like texting, but with your voice. So, all right, there's one response. And then also Brock is like Tigger to Dave's Eeyore.
Yes.
That's a pretty good comp. That's a pretty good comp. What does that make Bob? Piglet? Don't tell him I said that. He's just going to get mad at me. I'm just kidding.
What do you guys call me and Bob? Don't you get, you guys have some kind of name?
It's Brock who does this. I get blamed, but I have never referred to you as the grumpy old Muppets.
The old man Muppets.
That is Brock's deal, not mine. I would never say something like that. Even though both of you and your pal Schneider all took more in this race today, I have never said anything like that, but I am going to prove all of you wrong, and I'll say it again. I hope John's a lot better at drafting than he is at picking the winner of races, because he's going to be way off.
Wyman's just loyal to me, like Brock is loyal to you. We worked together for a long time.
Loyalty. Okay. Gets people in trouble. Just ask Pete.
Where is this race taking place?
The Husky Track, Dave. Yep.
You want to come down? Yeah, if you want to come down, you can watch it. I think there are a couple tickets remaining.
The nice thing is, too, a real race where, like, it's over in 20 seconds, this thing's going to go on a while, so you actually get an opportunity to really watch and get your money's worth.
I have to watch sporting events for a living. That's kind of my job.
Mm. Yeah.
This does not fall into that category.
No, probably not. All right, let me ask you this, Dave. I know how much you love guards. You've talked about them for years. Can a guard be valuable enough to take it number 16?
I do think so, man. And, you know, it's funny looking at Faltano. He's unbelievably gifted. I think Brock's probably watched enough of his film to have seen this play. Brock, did you see where he loses track of the defensive end he's blocking and he spins around?
Yes.
He spins towards the inside.
Yep.
I've never seen anybody do that ever at offensive line, yet his feet are so freaking good. Mm-hmm. He could do like a spin move. It's almost like a defensive end with a spin move. It was crazy. And it's not very sound, but like that was his instinct to do that. I mean, I'm watching this guy going, he's the dancing bear. He's Walt Jones.
Yep.
I mean, he has those kind of feet. I'm not saying he's going to be a, you know, Hall of Famer, but maybe. But yeah, he's good enough. He's athletic enough, I think, to take him at 16. That guy is, he's crazy good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference, Dave, too, in the game, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, Tez kind of started in the 90s. Warren Sapp certainly accentuated it, and we've seen it on and on. And Aaron Donald took it to a whole different level. But, like, in the 70s, the 80s, even into the 90s, like, you know, there were just big dudes that you had to block. There were three, four fronts, and there was, you know, bubble for the guards. And But the guards of today, like, if you're not good, and we've seen this, you get exposed. You're going to get an athlete in front of you and on your nose, and he's going to destroy you if you are not capable. So I think that position, even over your 15 years here at the station, Dave, the position and the need for that position has evolved, has it not?
No, I think it's a great point. It really is. I mean, you look at guys like Aaron Donald and, you know, Cortez Kennedy. It was like once every, like, 5 years you found a guy like that. Now you're starting to see those guys show up more and more and more. So, yeah, man, I play with John Randall in a golf tournament every year, and I've gotten to kind of know him. I was a free agent. But, yeah, he was one of those inside guys that – you know, there's only a few that you would talk about. Now, like you said, I think there are more and more. So, yeah, I think that's a good position. Like, that would be like the most solid pick, I think, if you just thought it would cover everything for John Schneider at 16. I think Fautano is probably going to be the one.
All right, that would be the most solid pick. What would be the most fun pick? I remember, and I tell this story every year, and it's embarrassing really for both of us, but heck, we're always wrong. And that's the way it goes when you're in the prediction business sometimes. And the two of us doing the draft in 2009, right, when they drafted Aaron Curry, and you're pumping your fist. We're like, oh my gosh, they got LT2. And obviously that did not work out the way anybody thought that it would. How many players today at 16 would get you to pump your fist?
I really like Laiatu Latu. That's the guy I'm really excited about. I think it would be really cool if they got him. I just had the most fun. Brock, did you do any of his games?
Yes. Yep. Last couple of years. Mm-hmm.
I just thought he was incredibly. He's so refined, and everything about his pass rush moves and everything. He's so good at it. So skilled, and I just feel like you wouldn't even really have to teach that guy. But you know.
Wyman, I've quoted you, by the way, on a national broadcast. I've quoted you. I've said the great Dave Wyman, you know, Stanford All-American, decade-long vet in the NFL, loves to say, and it's especially on hits, and these hits where you're like, oh, what do you want him to do? Like the Matrix? You want him to bend backwards and stop his inertia and fight gravity? And you know what? Latu is the one guy, and I think Baldinger did a little clip on him in that realm, where he's like the Matrix, Dave. The way at 265 that he moves his body, he bends, it is just different than everybody else.
That's funny. I wrote in my notes, he's a ghost. I mean, like, there's no target. The offensive lineman can't, you know, you got to have a target to hit him. That target is always moving. Mm. I mean, he's just the way he bends and twists and everything. Yeah, it's really cool. But look, man, you know that, like – okay, I'll ask you a question. You got six quarterbacks. I think all six quarterbacks are going to be gone by the time the Seahawks get there, including Bo Nix and Penix.
Yep.
How many of them are going to fail miserably?
Yep, at least half.
How many are going to be out of the league?
Yep. Three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably two or three are going to fail.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the famed 83 quarterback class, one failed, Blackledge. One, Tony Eason, made a Super Bowl but was never very good. Ken O'Brien made the playoffs but was never that good. Mm-hmm. The other three are Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, you were talking about Aaron Curry. Everybody loved Aaron Curry.
Yes.
He was a Butkus Award winner. I mean, so to me, that is so fascinating. And that's one of the things I love about the day today because – first of all, I always say this, I wouldn't have drafted me because all I did was get hurt at Stanford. And I had 3 of my 9 years where I didn't have an injury. But, you know, there's that kind of stuff, but then also just all the different little things that happen and that people actually succumb to panic. I mean, I do think that's what's going to happen with the quarterbacks. I think that teams are going to panic. We got to get a quarterback. We got to get a quarterback. So there's not going to be a good quarterback draft for a long time. So we're going to jump in and grab somebody. And I think it's going to be weird. It's going to be fun to watch, though.
Did you also put up 225 29 times? Is that true?
At the combine?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay, because somebody texted that in. Somebody said you put up 225 29 times. Like, man, what was Jared Verse, like 31? So that would have been incredible.
Dave did it 39
times. How many times did you put up 225?
39.
Well, at the combine, Well, you asking Brock?
No, I don't care what Brock did. Oh. Yeah, Brock's lifting the bar. I don't care about that.
No, I did. I think at the combine, I did 23. But then I just kept doing that my entire life. And so, like, at the end of my my rookie year, I got 30.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Jared Verse, holy smokes, 31, I think.
Yep, pretty impressive.
Yeah, guy's a monster.
He is.
Ryman, right, well, I annoy you, but man, do I love your wisdom.
425 says Bob's definitely that old lady rabbit from Winnie the Pooh. So I don't know. You guys are going to get yourself in trouble with Bob. I don't want any part of that, obviously. And then Matt in Oregon says the real race is going to be the ambulance racing Salk to the ER with a burst of Achilles. All right, that is enough. I am sick. You know what? I thrive on the hatred. I thrive on the doubting, much like Lawyer Malloy, Richard Sherman, yes. Earl Thomas, yep. all the greats.
Yep.
I will feed off all of your hate and doubt, and you will all be eating it by tomorrow, eating crow.
Salk, let me tell you something. Uh-oh. Stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Oh, yeah. He has.
Oh, Dave, I started stretching 2 days ago. Yeah, no, I know what I'm doing here. So we're good. Yeah. Hey, have fun with Brock and Bob and Bump. Enjoy yourself, and we'll all be listening this afternoon. There's Dave Wyman. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. There is the great Dave Wyman. Eeyore to Brock's ticker.
I love that guy.
Do you remember when he said that? Said this about you, Brock?
Here's another thing, though, and I almost said something to him about it. He does the loud clap when something happens. Like super loud, right next to your ear.
It's really obnoxious. I'm with Dave on that. Dave and I don't agree on everything, but we would agree on
that. What comes out of this?
My wife agrees with that. Yep.
The clapping is your most annoying thing.
Well, I got massive hands. What do you want me to do? There's a lot of surface area there. So when I clap, wow.
Jeez, that's loud. It's like the crack of Julio's bat.
Yes.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, you guys should know that because we're going to go a little later today, Bump and Stacey are going to come on after the Mariner game, and they're going a little late, so we're helping them out by spending the first half hour leading up to the Mariner pregame show, filling in for them. By the way, J.P. Crawford, grade one strain on his way to the IL. So, not good news. Yeah.
According to MLB's HITS, the health and injury tracking system, hitters typically take 27 days to recover from a grade one.
Not what you're looking for. And remember, those oblique things, you got to give it
time.
Those
haunt,
You have to let it heal all the way, or they will keep coming back and coming back. So you may be looking at a few weeks or a month without J.P. Crawford. Not good news. Anyway, pregame show at 10:30. We will take you guys up until the pregame show. So kind of a lazy version of Ranked today. I'm not going to lie. This is kind of lazy because it's just looking back in our own history.
Why?
Yeah, it's a little lazy. There's no sound, there's no music, there's no thought put into it. But these are the top five draft moments that Brock and I have been through together in our 15 years. Yes. Number five, Brock.
Number five.
Is when you were all over this little wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner from K-State. Yep. The Little Apple, one of your favorites, Tyler Lockett.
Kansas State's got a special place in my heart. It always has. I've loved those guys, the way Bill Snyder developed them and grew them, and I saw Tyler every year. I'm like, this dude's unbelievable. This guy is a playmaker. He is a game changer. His last game, the Alamo Bowl at Kansas State down in San Antonio, I called. I'm like, gotta have him. And when they went up and they traded, I remember I was in the Irish pub trying to pay attention to my lovely bride, Molly, 25 years, May 22nd. We're on a date. And right above her is the television with the draft. And I'm like looking up at it and I just gave her knuckles, big old knuckles. Like, yes! Not just because we talked about him a lot, but I thought he could be a difference maker, and he sure has.
All right, that's number five. Number four, these aren't all necessarily happy memories. They're just vivid ones.
Uh-huh.
Number four, Brock and I were asked to host the Seahawks' big draft party at the event center at CenturyLink Field. Mm. Tons of people.
Oh,
I mean, there were a couple thousand people there.
Easily.
There were a ton of people and food, and everyone was geared up, and they're yelling and screaming. We had fun guests. Sean Locklear came on with us that day. He was awesome. What a nice guy.
Yep.
He's probably the person I remember best. But we had, like, chefs coming on to talk about new food, and we're gearing people up, and they were coming to us live from the network, right? And twice Seahawks traded back and ended up trading out of the first round so that the next day when we weren't there, they could draft Malik McDowell.
Remember the pre-G Scott hype man was like hyping the crowd up. Here with the 25th, they trade. Okay, but do it again. Here we go, 28, here we go. NFL Network's on us. NFL Network's watching.
It was so awkward.
They all
so
had
awkward.
To leave. Like, oh.
Everyone left. The Seahawks had not done anything. Can you imagine how much more disappointed they would have been if they had known that the next day they were going to take Malik McDowell? What a mess.
All right.
That was not a happy memory. Number three, similar. When the Seahawks drafted James Carpenter.
Early.
I was at the VMAC hosting. Brock,
yes, you
were on location at the draft or at ESPN?
Bristol, Connecticut, at that dirty old hotel before it got remodeled.
The Clarion. Boo. Smelled like dead bodies. Boo. So we went to Brock for analysis, and Brock goes, I've never heard of this guy. He's like, I don't know who that is. He's like, even Nick Saban doesn't know who that is. Yeah. He can't believe that the Seahawks just drafted his guard. Didn't Saban be like, wait, which one? Like, he thought they were going to draft one of their other players. So funny.
That was a tough one.
That was not good. And then later we talked to him. And afterwards, I was like, let's never interview him again.
Man,
and it went
words.
Out over the, not over the air, but over the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole bunch of people were like, Salk, we can hear you.
I was like, wow.
He's a terrible interview. Not good at all.
Yeah, went to commercial, but not really went to commercial.
Could, like, hear me over the commercials or something. It's like, oh, whoops. Oh, well, he was not a good interview.
Oh,
not his strength in life.
Oh, boy.
Big dude. Not a great interview.
Number two.
Truly happy moment.
So cool.
Late round pick. The Seahawks select Shaquem Griffin to pair with his brother. And just that whole story was awesome.
People ask me and still ask me some of my favorite games over 17 years. In the Peach Bowl with Shaquem, when they went 13-0 and UCF beat Auburn, that was one of them. Mm. I was out watching soccer tryouts. I remember this out at, out in Redmond watching soccer and having my phone by me and looking at all the picks. I'm like, okay, come on. Fifth round? Spot the round? Come on. Yeah, and pairing the Griffin brothers together and all that he overcame. Pretty stinking cool story.
That was great. And then number one, because we had spent so much time talking about him, I mean, really months, hoping for, preparing for. Brock was driving up from Olympia.
I was driving to Eugene to go do the Oregon Spring game with Mike Heward in the passenger seat, listening to it on the radio.
I was at my friend John's house watching. Shout out to Molly, who had surgery. Molly, love you, miss you. You're going to do great kicking this thing's butt. Nice job.
I said, Dad, if they draft Russell Wilson right here, it would be the greatest thing for the history of my radio show. We have spent 4 months, Salk and I, talking about him. And if they draft him right now, I am driving off I-5 somewhere in Oregon. The car may go off the road. And sure enough, with the 70, whatever pick,
we're screaming and yelling. It's pretty good.
Pretty cool.
Worked out pretty well. Won a Super Bowl soon afterwards. So there you go. There's our best draft memories. Rock
Maura loved that. Best ranked ever, right, Maura? Look at that. No honorable mentions.
Nice and concise.
Storytelling.
See? Going to be a little nice tomorrow today. Going to be a little mean tomorrow today. It's a little back and forth. She doesn't know what's going to
What time
come
is the race? 11?
Yeah, we're about an hour, probably an hour and a half, probably 11:30. We'll actually start running. Yeah.
Yeah. This extended over there show may 11. Have pushed our race back a little.
We're going to do an extra 25 minutes. Right.
I just got an email from our contact at UW, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Please don't tell me. She's like, ah, track's busy.
That would be great.
Nope.
Just rained out. Sorry, guys.
Call me when you're 5 minutes out.
Okay, sounds good. Stick around. We got a few more minutes left to go, so we won't tell you where the hay is just yet.
Uh-uh.
We will take over the Bump and Stacey show for 25 minutes. That will be a couple of minutes of, oh, my gosh, J.P. Crawford, and then a whole lot more draft talk to come. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.